want to want to go to the Word. And I want to talk about three countermeasures that you can take. And I think that we all understand what a countermeasure is. It's an action taken to counter a danger or a threat against us. So any danger or threat that's coming at us, we want to do something about it. Want to take some action against it. That's a countermeasure. And I want to speak about three countermeasures that you can take, that we can take, as there are dangers, as there is a danger, and threats, a threat against you, against me. And I want to begin by going to Genesis 3, and there's going to be a little twist to this message, and you'll be able to catch it as we go there. But I want to begin by looking at Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3 is one of those high peak, it's an infamous high peak chapter in the Bible, a chapter that we know as the fall of Adam and Eve, of course, and how it was that the devil showed up and caused some trouble in their lives. So that's what's going on in this chapter. And I want to look there, Genesis chapter 3, and just read one verse and draw your attention to something. But Genesis 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." Now notice what it says. The serpent, and we all know this, you know, it's come down metaphorically to us, and when we see snakes and whatever, slithery and hiding and the subtlety that goes into there. The NIV uses the word crafty. And he said to the woman, so out of that, in that disguise, in that craftiness, in that subtlety, he says to the woman, "Did God really say?" Notice that the devil, we understand the serpent to be the devil here, and causing his trouble, his attack, is against the word of God spoken to Adam and Eve. Did you catch that? Challenges. Did God say? Did God really say? And he says, you know, that you shouldn't eat from any tree in the garden. Of course, there's the exchange that happens there. And you all know that it wasn't the apple in the tree, but the pear on the ground that caused all the trouble, right? And so that we understand what's going on here. I just want to draw your attention to this one aspect of the devil and him coming and challenging. What did he challenge? The word of God spoken to Adam and Eve. Okay, then I want to flip over to the New Testament. The New Testament in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, which comes after chapter 3. Mark chapter 4, and we have here another famous scripture known as the parable of the sower. Who doesn't know about the parable of the sower? I can remember when I was a student in Bible school and we had, I went on a 6 weeks ministry tour with a team and we put together a bunch of skits, and one of the skits that we did was the parable of the sower, acted it out and so on, and very famous parable. Who doesn't know about the parable of the sower? And here in Mark chapter 4, I want to draw your attention to verse 15, where Jesus is given, he tells the story about the parable of the sower, and then he gives explanation to his disciples as to what the meaning is behind the story. And he says to them in verse 14, that the seed that the sower sows, which is, he says, the word of God, the seed is the word of God, and he says some of it falls on a hard path. And he says what happens there, notice what he says. He says, this is where the word is sown, and he says, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes. and takes it away. Satan comes and takes it away. And so once again, there is this attack by the devil on the Word of God in someone's life. Satan comes and steals it. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, and who doesn't know Ephesians chapter 6? Because there we are told how it is that we ought to prepare ourselves to take, in fact, countermeasures against the attacks of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and the conquering power of his might, he says in verse 10. And then he says, Ephesians 6, want to look in particular at verse 17, Todd. But in getting to verse 17, he talks about putting on the armor of God so that we can stand against and not fall prey to, you understand? Fall. He says over and over again in this passage that you can stand, that you can stand, that you can stand, and not what? Fall. Now make the connection. What happened to Adam and Eve when the devil came? They fell. They didn't stand. And he says here, he says, here's how it is that you can make a stand and not fall when you're attacked by the devil. Now listen, you know, this should not come as any surprise to any of you. There is a devil. And he attacks us. Duh, right? And so he says here, though, in verse 17, you okay, Sandra? What do you need? Money? All right. And so in verse 17, he's getting through the list of how it is that we arm ourselves, protect ourselves against our enemy, the devil. And then he says in verse, let me find it here, in verse 17, he says, and take the sword of the Spirit. So he pieces of armor, and then he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. The Word of God. Now notice the connection to all the verses that we're looking at, the Word of God. And so he says, this sword of the Spirit, this is a weapon that we're armed with to fight against the devil. And what is that weapon? He identifies it. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Okay. Change gears just a bit in the next couple of scripture verses. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It's nice to see a lot of you with your Bibles. That's awesome. We want to. I know that we're in the digital age. I got my Bible apps, all this stuff. There's just something about having the feel of a Bible, the tactile feel, and looking at it and all that stuff. But there's no judgment here if you don't use a real Bible, you use a fake one. I use the fake one right on your phone. But in Hebrews chapter 4, the author of Hebrews is talking about, he's trying to help the church that he's writing to have faith. And when you think of the book of Hebrews, what chapter comes to mind right away? Hebrews chapter 11, right, the faith chapter, right? And he's helped because they're giving up on their faith. Their faith has been attacked, and they're wavering. They're hesitating. They're being reticent and holding back in their walk with Jesus. And so he writes to them to encourage them to, hey, take the next step. Take the next step. Take the next step. Don't withdraw. Don't back up. Keep going forward. Have faith. Have faith. And in this chapter, he draws in the illustration of how it was that the nation of Israel failed God. We know that they failed God, right? They didn't abide by the promises of God when it came time for them to keep going forward into the promised land, the land that God said was guaranteed to them, that they doubted. And having doubted and causing all their kinds of problems, they fell. And they were not able to go into what God gave them. They fell. And he says to us here The reason why they fell, in Hebrews 4, verse 2, he says, it wasn't any value to them because they didn't combine the word with faith. I think the King James Version says mix, if I'm not mistaken, right? They didn't mix the word of God with faith or combine. So the importance here of the word of God and mixing it with faith. Okay. The last verse of scripture, all right? A little Bible study this morning. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you. John 15. And of each one of these passages that I'm drawing your attention to are just famous passages. John 15 is the abide in me chapter. And as Jesus is talking about this whole idea of relationship with him and how it is that our relationship to him ought to be like the branches connected to a vine. And all that happens, how fruit is born because it's connected to the vine and all of that. And he says in John chapter 15 and verse 7, he says to them, abide in me. Stay connected to me. And he says, if you do, and if my word is in you, if you stay connected to my word, there's going to be a value added to your life in your relationship to me, where there's going to be this kind of relationship where there's going to be open communication. He says, you'll ask what you want to be given to you. But the whole idea of staying connected to the word. Okay. I just set the table with the word. Let's pray, and then we'll put some of it on our plates and see how we go, okay? Father, there's your word. You know the word that I believe you put on my heart to dish out, as it were. But God, that there would be that kind of thing that happens where your Holy Spirit continues to show up now and speaking to us and writing your word upon our hearts so that we might walk with you in these days of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Now, the devil, our murderous enemy, and you have to think of it with that kind of adjective and so many more we can use. He's a murderous enemy. And this word started to percolate in me last week. I don't know if some of you remember where I said something about this last week, the devil and our enemy. And is my thinking towards the end of the year, I like to hit on getting into the Word at least three times a year. Beginning of the year, the middle of the year, the end of the year. And the Lord has helped me to connect some dots here. And when we speak about our devil, when we speak about the devil, our enemy, our murderous enemy, he continues to do to us now what he did to them in the beginning. And what he did to them in the beginning was try to undermine the word of God spoken to them. There it is. There's the connection. And so we have to see that when the devil comes and he attempts to do that, he doesn't come and he doesn't announce himself and say, hey, I'm the devil, and I'm here to ruin your life. So get ready, you know. Be on guard, I'm here. No, mm-mm. So we make the statement that he's our murderous enemy, and he's always attempting to do to us what he did to them, undermine the word of God. He does it in crafty, subtle ways, as he did to them. Now just think about it for a moment. If I was under a tree and a snake slithered up and began speaking to me. Hey, Bob, how you doing? I'd freak. I mean, I would freakest outest. You understand? Now, think about this for a moment. She didn't freak out. And therein is the subtlety of what the devil is able to do. That he blended in such a way that he engaged her in such a way that she picked up a normal conversation with a murderous enemy who was about to bring her down. And the way that he did it, again, was to cause her to doubt the word spoken. So, now, if you've ever read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, anybody read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Sure, a couple of you may have. I recommend the book. It's a scary book to read, Screwtape Letters. And in that, C.S. Lewis shows how our enemy works undercover in his attempts to ruin your life and mine. How he works undercover to do this. And he does this by careful surveillance of our lives. He's watching, taking into account our lives, and then he uses our lives against us to get at us. Another story. The point that I'm just making is it's a crafty thing, the way in which the devil comes at us. Okay? Now, I know sometimes, and for us as Christians to talk about the devil, it's like, oh, talk about Jesus. Why do you got to talk about the devil? Well, when you read the scripture, it's clear in scripture how many times where we're told about the devil. In fact, we're introduced to him in Genesis chapter 3 in the beginning. And all the way through, because you have an enemy, and he's a murderous enemy, and he is out to ruin your life and mine. And so we have to understand countermeasures, how it is that we are to take action to counteract the threat, the danger that comes to us from the devil. Okay? I mean, that's Bible 101. Okay? This is serious stuff. And so I'm talking this way this morning. And my intention is to draw your attention, and this is the little twist, to the Word of God. See, my attention this morning is to draw your attention to what I usually do at the end of the year and say, get into the Word and let the Word get into you. So I want to talk about that, okay? So, now, how it is that the devil attacked them then, he attacks us now by going after the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God in our lives. If the devil can keep you from getting into the Word, he's got you. Just to keep you away from the Word. And then if he can get you to not mix faith with the Word, well, you may know the Word and be able to go on Jeopardy and answer the Bible category if it should come up, right? But if you're not mixing faith with it, well, he's got you. And if he comes at us in one of his so many ways, which we'll talk about in a moment, and we're not armed with the what? What is it called? What does Paul call in Ephesians? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, then we're open to attack. And he's got us. You see? And so, therefore, we want to really look at this thing that comes to us in Ephesians 6, 10 following, and finally where we get to the Word of God, and how it is that Jesus himself, remember Jesus, when we meet Jesus coming into his ministry, and he goes off into temptation. Remember the story? Remember the account in Luke chapter 4 in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus goes into temptation. And being the man that he is, like all men, the generic use for all people, we are all prone to, subject to, vulnerable to temptation. You ever been tempted? You know. Temptation is a big part of our lives. It is. And it comes to us in many ways, in many forms. And you know, what one person is tempted with may not bother another. You know, all these things. But the devil is also known as what? What's one of the names of the devil when it comes to temptation? Deceiver and tempter. He is actually called tempter. And so when he attacks us, he's attacking us to tempt us to undermine the Word of God in our lives. And just like that seed that he comes and takes, which is the Word of God, and that person that the Word of God is stolen from becomes, the Scripture tells us in that parable, unfruitful. That not that the Word of God is unprofitable, but it is of, it becomes of no value in my life. Have you ever think to yourself, well, you know, I've tried, it doesn't work. You know, the Word of God doesn't work. Well, one of the reasons why is maybe we're not taking countermeasures against the devil making it not work in my life, in yours. Ah. Isn't that awesome, those kids? That freaking, ah, that is just awesome. Come on, you got to love that. You got to love that. Getting the Word of God in them, singing, whatever, come on. So, and where I'm at with this is here. Wish I had a Starbucks coffee right now. I can go for a sip of coffee. I can, that's where I'm at. I can really go for a sip of coffee. Just a random thought. But, when Jesus was there in his temptation, the devil coming at him, attacking him, who knows the countermeasure that Jesus used when the devil came at him? He used the word. What did he say? It is written. And then he used the word each time. Each time. The countermeasures that he used was what? The Word of God. So listen, if you don't have this going on, man, I'll tell you, you know, we become devil's food. And I don't mean chocolate cake. Devil's food, right? You see, so just, this is heavy-duty stuff here for us. And what I would say to you is that we fail here all the time. Often we fail here. Because again, the devil is a master at blinding our eyes. He is called the God of this world who blinds our eyes. He doesn't want us to see the Word of God. And so Jesus said, it is written. It is written. The devil comes to the first person that hears the Word of God in the parable of the sower, and he takes it out of their lives. He steals it. And we know the devil to be what? He is a thief. See, he's a thief. And so he's looking. Listen, if you read the Screwtape Letters, I'm telling you, you'll get a good feel for how it is that we understand the devil has intelligence files on each one of us. Now you say, where in the heck do you get that from? I get it from, where do you get that from in the Bible? From 1 Peter chapter 5, where he says, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeking you out to devour you, to destroy your life. You ever see lions and lionesses on the prowl after a prey? Whew, they got it down, baby. They got it down. Anyways, it's not where I'm going. I'm getting to the countermeasures. Because as is my custom, I want to highlight three countermeasures that you can take to help you with the danger that comes from the devil, who comes at you and me to undermine the Word of God in your life and mine. So the first countermeasure is this, and these are all as simple as you can imagine, and you're going to say, duh, except maybe to the last one that I'm going to stretch out a little bit. But the first one is this. Here's the first countermeasure. Stay in the Word. Just stay there. Stay in the Word. Get into the Word and let the Word get into you. I can't tell you how many times, you know, that I'd open up this Word and my prayer would be, oh, Lord, as I get into this Word right now, Lord, open your Word up to me and open my heart up to your Word. And just read. And I have developed a daily reading plan. You know, where every day I read so much of the Bible that helps to bring me through the whole Bible in a year. So I start in January and I finish in December, and when my reading plan is done, I've read the whole Bible through that year. It's simple. Divide the number of pages in your Bible by 365. And then read that number of pages each day. By the end of the year, you'll have it done. There was a time when I would read the Old Testament through twice a year, the New Testament through four times a year, memorize Scripture every day. I have probably over 600 plus Scriptures memorized, including whole books of the Bible memorized, you know, to get the Word of God in me. And you say, well, you're a pastor. I started this when I was a kid. Brian quoted it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that this is life for us, you see. So I want to stay in it. I want to get into it. I want to find my home in this Word. What did Jesus say? He said, live in me, abide in me, like connect a branch is connected to the vine. And he says also abide in my Word. Stay in my Word. Stay in my Word. And you know my 3D mantra, right? 3D mantra. Who knows my 3D mantra? Do devotions daily. Do devotions daily. We can do devotions daily. Do devotions daily, right? Do devotions daily. Do devotions daily. 3D. Do devotions daily. Just stay in the Word. Just get there. Let it brainwash you. Amen. Let it brainwash you. Get into this Word. Now, there's so many more things that I can say about this. I don't, because my time is getting away from me and I want to get to the last one. But start comparing your time in other things. I won't mention these other things, TV, movies. I won't mention them, in which you give your mind to, your brain to, and then to the Word of God. Just saying. Okay? That's the first. What's the first one? What's the first countermeasure?
Stay in the Word.
Stay in the Word. Here's the next one. You already know it. Mix the Word with faith. Stay in the Word, and then take that Word and apply it to your life. You see, you know, what is faith? I gotta conjure this up. I gotta feel this energy of faith within me and all this stuff. You know, what was it when he said, you know, to the Israelites, they failed because they failed to go in because they didn't mix it with faith. It's simple. They stopped. Just take the next step. Go on in. Yeah, but there's giants there. It's okay. I told you to go in there. The giants are they're gonna be food for you. Take the next step. Apply it to your life. Apply it to your life. How can we ever, I'll hit on this one, how can we, with the money that we have coming in, how can we ever pay tithes? How could we ever give? It is a good one. You are, and that we you're awesome. You guys are awesome. Thank God for Dave Ramsey. Thank God for the Bible. But take a step of faith and God, because you're responding to the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. It's the Word. Respond to the Word. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with things. Apply it to your life. When you're in this Word and you're reading this Word, it's like not that you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I got to make this happen in my life. I got to make this thing happen. No. You respond to it. This is at work in my life. This is what I'm going to do. You know, you read Galatians chapter 5 in the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the first one kills you. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Dead in the water, you know. Right? You know what I'm saying? I ran into a guy today that Saturday that caused me some trouble at one time in my life. I wanted to punch him. My first response. And I'm like, I know. I wasn't carrying. And it was like, I'm being truthful, okay? I'm being honest. And it's like, and as I'm going through the motions of these emotions, it's like, Rulowitz, you know, you've been walking with Jesus 40 plus years. Act like it! You know? It's like, why don't you go and witness to him? I'll witness to him. You know? Let me witness to him. And I'm serious. And it's like, holy cow. And it's like, Jesus, help me that my response is compassion, love, you know? And so what is it with that? Well, I got to mix it with faith. How do you mix it with faith? Even though my emotions are going, punch the living snot out of them. See? What I say in my heart is, Jesus has redeemed me for better than that. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we don't get this about faith. I act contrary to my feelings. I'm telling you, that's big. And here's the thing that I'm learning not to do. I don't condemn myself for my feelings. Because God doesn't. He honors me for my faith. And he says, I understand you wanted to deck the guy. I saw what he did to you. But he says, love your what? Enemies. Do good to those who persecute you and bless you. Say something kind. Tell me, who doesn't? Who doesn't, you know? But the thing is, but this is what goes into, this is real stuff. Come on, is it not? You know, this is real. You could apply it in so many situations in your life, especially in what? Relationships with other people, which 95% of life is. Sorry, but it is. You know? Let me go someplace where nobody knows my name, you know? Right? You know, just for a little while. When Jesus, you know, it's like, hey, I'm perfect all by myself. Think about it, you know? All by myself, I'm a saint. You can call me Saint Bob. I pity the guy whose name is Bernard in heaven. So, sorry. I know. Here's the last one. This is going to ding your bell now. Here's the last one, okay? I want to look at some things here. I want to fine-tune this now. So these are some countermeasures that we take. And all these have to do with the word. Here's the last one. The last countermeasure is this. Oppose the devil with what you have learned from staying in the word and mixing it with faith in your life. Oppose the devil. Don't let him walk all over you. Stand up. Stand up to him. How? Let me mention some things. So oppose the devil. The devil is also known as the accuser of the brethren. Accusers. And he is a master at wiggling his way in and saying, did you see what Bill said? Did you hear what Bill said?
That guy's a jerk.
He's a jerk. And I say, boy, you know what? Boy, you know what? But now listen to me. I'm telling you, this happens all the time. Yeah. And it begins to undermine our love for one another by casting aspersions on other people. Listen to me and listen to me well. Who doesn't have issues and problems in their lives? Just be married for more than a week. And you'll discover them in your spouse. You know? See, what's marriage for? Remember my little testimony? No, but don't you remember character? Exactly. All right. You see, because God designed marriage as the kind of relationship where you can't say, well, goodbye, we'll see you in another week. No, it's like, well, goodbye, and, you know, you meet up for, you know, oh, you're still here? You know? And remember my little story on you know, I'm praying for Sandra because there's this thing in her that just driving me nuts. And it's, God, you know how many years I've prayed about this for, you know, to you about this in her life. God, what's going on here? God, I really want you to, God, I need an answer from you. And he says, that's there for you to love her more perfectly.
Oh, amen. That's beautiful.
Holy cow. And it's like, well, God, I thought this was about her and you're making it about me. Come on. But do you hear what I'm saying to you? That he's a master at pointing out the weaknesses in other people to you so that you cop an attitude against them. And man, you got to allow that word to work into you to say, who doesn't have weaknesses? Love, what does love do? Covers a multitude of sins. And I say, hey, I see this weakness in his life. Join the club. I'm not only a member of that club, I'm what? I'm the president. Right? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a hair for, you understand, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, Mike. You know what I'm saying, buddy? There you go. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, feel the love. And so, the accusations. Here's lies, which goes, I mean, he is the father of lies. He lies to us. You know, that's never going to happen in your life. Have you ever said that about yourself in a situation? That's never going to happen in my life. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about, you know, dreams that are, what do they call those kinds of dreams? Yeah, pipe dreams. I'm looking for a different word. But anyway, pipe dreams, you know. And you know, it's like, I will never be a professional musician, you know, no matter how much I want to be a professional musician. You know, I just, no rhythm, no, I can't do it. So, it's, you know, that'd be a false dream on my part. But I'm talking about stuff, man, in our lives, you know, what God wants to do in my life, never going to happen. He lies to us, lies. I want to get to some of these negative thoughts. Negative thoughts. Yeah. And he's a master at putting negativity in our lives. You ever around somebody who's always negative? You know? I mean, I can be that way. And other people, you know, right, they're negative about everything. John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He does. And doubts. You know, if you're going to mix the word with faith, I'm good at mixing the word with doubt. But he fills us with doubt, self-doubt. And we, you know, boy, I just don't know, you know. I don't think that could happen. Really? Well, the idea is I'm going to connect it to the Word of God in all of these things, you know. It's this lack of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know? If God is for us, who can be against us? Say, oh, everything's against me. Well, if God is for you and everything's against you, you're ahead. And so am I. You see, the devil's a master at wiggling in there. And doubt, God, you know, oh, you know, it's like, how long have you prayed that prayer? You know, you might just give up. And faith says, I'm going to pray it again tomorrow. Hey, but the answer doesn't come. The answer's on its way. I'm praying it again tomorrow. That's because that's the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? The devil's just the opposite. And here's the last one. Okay, I'll finish with this last one. He exaggerates things. cause you to go mountain climbing on molehills. What do I mean by that? He's a master at making small issues into big problems between people. You know, just something small. We can resolve this easily. And the devil works on you through the night. Keeps coughing that up, right? Bringing it to your memory. Boy, the way they said that. What did they mean by that? By the time you get up in the morning, you're writing them a scathing text message. And you're not telling them to go to heaven, if you know what I mean. Sorry. If you only knew what I hold back, you'd appreciate it. So, but isn't it the truth though? He exaggerates. And you know, we misread in situations or circumstances, and he causes us to read into it what really isn't there. And before you know it, wow, we do have a problem, because boy, I wish I would have kept my big mouth shut. You ever been in one of those kinds of situations? If I would have only been quiet. And the devil wiggled his way in, made it seem to you to be bigger than it was. You say something, you do something, and what? Now you got a problem. Been there, done that. More often, I've taken my size 13, almost 14, out of my mouth more times than I can, more than I can say. He exaggerates. He exaggerates things to cause conflict among us, to cause conflict in your own heart with situations, with your boss, with your job. Oh, I hate my job. All these people around me, it's all they do is swear and talk about this or that. Well, do they know Jesus? No. Well, they're going to swear. As long as you don't swear at them. Good, you're good. Don't swear back. You're good. But the devil, you know, and it's like, and he exaggerates, and you know, you're never, and this thing is just going to snowball and bury you. You say, Pastor, how did you learn these things? Where did you get this from? You know, I know you got a couple of degrees. Did you get, what book did you read them in? I only wish I could have got these out of a book, you know. It's because the devil works on me, man. Works on me. You know. And just recently, you know, it's that verse of scripture from Genesis where he says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Or he speaks to, is it Abraham? And it's a rhetorical question. No, it's not too difficult. Is it too difficult for us to finish what we started upstairs? No. It's not too difficult. You know? And so, you know, so I hope this is helpful. Here's some countermeasures. Simple. But the devil keeps us away from, especially this, how it is that we can oppose him. So just connect the dots now. He doesn't want you in the Word because he doesn't want number three to happen. Especially. You stay in the Word, you start mixing it with faith. Instead of him being a danger and a threat that's imposing to you, you just turn the tables, baby. And that's no joke. That's no joke. That the devil knows my name. Watch out for him. I've had people tell me, you know, you're a dangerous person. And they weren't nice about it. And it's like, I guess not. I guess I'm not. I know. Who wants to be harmless? You know, how nice. Let's stand together. So I hope this was helpful for you today. Little Bible study. Little Bible study. Oh. really, okay, so you the narrator, right, if you like listening to books and whatever, you Candy just mentioned the Screwtape Letters is on YouTube. It's a heavy-duty read. It really is. It's a heavy-duty read. So, I really hope this means something to you, that you're able to take it away and digest it and keep going. So, next week, we're going to continue on this theme of the Word, because we want to end up on December 24th, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the angel said, you shall give him the name what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Thank God for that word. Amen. And so, Father, here we are in your presence now at the end of our worship time together on this Lord's Day. Having gotten into your word, my prayer is that your word would get into us. Into me, Lord. You see how it is that we have an enemy, murderous, vindictive, spiteful, angry, wanting nothing to do but to destroy our lives. And so I pray that you would protect us, Jesus. Keep us from the evil one, Lord. You've taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Please, Lord, keep us from temptation. Deliver us from the evil one, I pray. In all of these ways and more that I spoke about this morning. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.